Blog Talk Radio.
America or South America,
whether you're on the African continent. I want to take the time to recognize the countries that we have listeners in. I'm praying that you reach out and in some way identify yourselves. I know that there are listeners in Afghanistan. We want to say happy Sabbath to each and every one of you in all these countries. The goal of this ministry is to get the gospel out to the entire world. As the Most High said, that Messiah would not return until the true gospel went out into all the world. Then the end would come. So we are endeavoring to do what it is that Messiah has said to be done. Get this gospel into all the nations of the world, that all men might have a chance to hear it and to do it and to come to the Most High. So we want to greet those listeners in Afghanistan, Algeria, Australia, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Colombia, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Ghana, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Netherlands, Nigeria, Poland, Portugal, Russia, Romania, South Africa, South Korea, Sweden, Tajikistan, Thailand, the United States, United Kingdom, and Vietnam. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, the only Elohim that there is, and that all the world might hear of his great name and his power and come to fear him. On this evening, still on the subject of adultery, and we are going to endeavor on this evening to show what relationships that the Most High approves when a man and a woman separate, for what reason that he has approved those things. I have been reading in this topic, and we have been reading in this topic for a minute now, and I never thought that I would get up to lesson number 7 on this topic. Yet and still, we are not finished, and the Most High wants us to observe and to understand just how important relationship is to him, our relationship with him and our relationship with each other. It's important. The relationship is important to him, and how we use our bodies is important to him. You know, I'm going to put it like this, and then we're going to go ahead and get, you know, start this Sabbath off officially. This is like you having a home and somebody use your home. And they throw a wild party, and they do all kind of things in your house and allow all kind of people to come in and do drugs and alcohol and have sex. And they're doing any and everything, breaking your furniture. And how would you feel if somebody, a friend or relative, treated your home that way? That's the way the Most High looks at our bodies, because we are his temple. We are where he wants to reside, in us, physically. And so when we defile our bodies, when we use it in a way that he doesn't sanction, it's like somebody abusing your home and you get upset about it. You know, they didn't tore up my carpet. They didn't mark up my walls. The toilet's all clogged up. Backyard full of trash, yada, 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 yada. You know we would be upset, especially, you know, for something that we are paying for or have paid for, and somebody come and abuse it. But when we abuse ourselves, the Most High feels the same way. So we're going to look at these things on this evening, because we have to present our bodies a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto him. Now we're going to find out why. Why do we have to do this? For the simple reason, we are required to. We are not our own. We are not our own. And when we come up under Messiah, we were bought with a price. And so we can't just treat our bodies the way we want to treat them. We can't do in our bodies whatever we want to do. And we got to understand that this is a very serious matter to the Most High. And so when we talk about fornication and adultery, these are things that he doesn't want us doing in our body. So let us go ahead. As I said, let me greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be in the world. We want to say happy Sabbath to you. And may you be richly blessed by this lesson that you might receive something from it. Let me do a sound check. Can I be heard in the room?
Yes, you can.
Okay. All right. Somebody was saying they couldn't hear me. I know I can be heard over the phone. So we're going to go ahead, and we're going to, Sister Lorraine, if you're having a problem, okay, I don't know why the volume would be going in and out. I have my volume on high, so I'm thinking that, again, that's on your end. Is the volume going up and down for you, Sister Mary?
No.
Okay. For you, Sister Denise?
No.
Okay, then that's going to be on your end, Sister Lorraine. All right, amen. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to do our statement of faith. You might have to go out and come back in to straighten up your connection. And let us go ahead and proceed on this evening. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Wherever you may be in the world, if you're listening, if you will, women will cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. And turn toward the east, the direction that the sun rises in. And then to our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26-29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you, Father. We come before you and we glorify your name, Father. We lift you up. And we worship you on this day that you have ordained that we should worship you, Father. And we keep your commandments and we walk before you righteously, Father. Hallelujah. We just glorify you, Father. And we thank you on today for keeping us safe. And we thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do, Father. And when it seems like that you may not be hearing us, Father, we know that you hear us. Hallelujah. And the answer just may be no. Hallelujah, Father. But it's still your answer, Father, and we will continue to worship you and to praise you. To worship you and to praise you, Father. In the spirit of truth, hallelujah. Hallelujah and hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave. And we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. He said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes for that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for your love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46 on this evening. And I will personalize this. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy. And let me start this over, because I'm supposed to personalize. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive, far unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, and the cities which thou hast chosen, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name, then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us, forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us away captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19. Verses 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy. Chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 and 27. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 and 27. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you obey not the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which I, Elohim of thy father, giveth thee, to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. The book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 1 through 6. I think I want to modify that. Hold on a minute. Give me a hot second. I think I want to add to that. Exodus chapter 20. We are talking about relationships. I want to add verse 7 to this. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other Elohims before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah, am thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of Yah thy Elohim in vain, for Yah will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The book of Proverbs chapter 8. The book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen. And amen. The sounding of the shofar. The sounding of the shofar. It is the Most High step as we are commanded.
Somebody do it. Somebody do it.
All right. Amen. 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 The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. Corinthians, chapter 6. We're going to get verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. For know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim? Shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Elohim. So if we are unrighteous, meaning that righteousness means that we keep the laws of the Most High. We do right.
Now in the conference.
We do right
we do
by
right
what he says.
What he said.
So if we don't do right by what he says, then we are unrighteous. We have to understand that and know that. Okay? So this is what we're going to be looking at on tonight. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach and by the Spirit of our Elohim. So if you got washed, means you got baptized, you died to self, you died to sin. If you got sanctified, set apart by Messiah, you are set apart in his body. And then you are justified in his name, justified by what he did, and by the Spirit of Elohim. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Expedient means that they're not the best thing to do. Might be, some things might be okay to do, but it may not be expedient, may not be in your best interest. Might think that you can handle certain things to do it, but then you find out that you don't really have the mental or the physical fortitude to actually stand up and do it, to walk in it. But I will not be brought under the power of any. Meek for the belly, and the belly for meat. But Elohim shall destroy both it, the meat, and the belly and the meat. There's going to come a time in the future where when we are eternal, we're not going to require food. You can eat if you want to. But if you don't want to, you don't have to. The Most High is going to destroy those things. Now, the body is not for fornication. Underline that. The body is not for sex outside of marriage. That's fornication. But for Yah. That's who your body's made for. That's who you were bought for. That's who we were designed for. For him. Not to consume our own selves on our own lust. And Yah for the body. So the body was designed for Yah and Yah for the body. Hear that. Because we are the only creature, as far as I know, as recorded in the scriptures, that our spirit is made to unite with the Spirit of the Most High. The angels are not so. And as far as I know, there's no other creature that the Most High speaks of. He may have others that he has not told us about. But on this planet, the Most High does not unite with the spirits of animals. He doesn't unite with the spirit of angels or the spirit of demons. This is unique to man. We were designed this way. that our bodies were made for him and our spirits made to unite with him and him made to unite and live in our body. So we don't want to take this body and do any and everything with it. And Elohim has raised up Yah and will also raise up us by his own power. So we are promised that just as he raised Messiah, he's going to raise us. And we can't treat this body to do whatever we want to do with it. Got to understand that. Verse 15. Know ye not that your body are the members of Mashiach? Shall I then take the members of Mashiach or Christ and make them the members of a harlot? Elohim forbid that we should take our, you know, we should be so consumed with pleasure and meeting and satisfying the desires of this flesh that we forget who we belong to. We forget for what our purpose is. Verse 16, what? Know you not he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. So these brothers that think that they can sleep, you know, there are brothers that think that they can just go and be with a prostitute and it's nothing illegal about it because they're paying for her services. Don't they know that they are making themselves one flesh with that harlot, with that prostitute? But he that is joined unto Yah is one spirit. Yah is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We are designed that our spirit will unite with his spirit. But if we are involved with other spirits, with other spirits possessing us. And see, a lot of people don't believe in spiritual possession. No, let me change that. Actually, a lot of people believe that they can be possessed by evil. They're afraid of demon possession, and they believe in demon possession. But somehow when it comes to being possessed by the Most High, people don't believe that. They don't really actually believe it. And I don't get it. But that has been my experience. They don't really believe that they literally are possessed or the Most High comes to live inside of us, to unite his spirit with our spirit. And that's what makes us his children. When his spirit unites with our spirit, we become a child of Elohim. Until that time, we are not his. But we're not necessarily his. Verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside, without the body, outside of the body. But he that commits fornication sinneth against his own body. You defile your own temple. You defile the temple of the Most High. If the Most High dwells in you, and you are doing things that are contrary to the way he says is acceptable, then you are defiling your own body and you're defiling his temple. Verse 19, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, is the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh, which is in you? So if the Most High has taken up residence in you, do you really want him seeing you do a whole lot of stuff you ought not be doing? Do you really want to defile your body in an unsanctioned and unholy relationship where the Most High says, I don't want this house anymore. I don't want to dwell in this temple. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, of the Ruach HaKodesh, which is in you, which you have of Elohim, and you are not your own. Your body don't belong to you. What you do with it is not just up to you. And if you want the Most High to dwell in you and with you and be with you, then you can't just go sleeping around with any and everybody. Because the Most High says, you know what? This used to be holy ground. It used to be sanctified. But now it's defiled. And he won't dwell in an unclean temple. He won't dwell there. He won't reside there. He will leave. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Elohim in your body. Don't use your body to seek all kind of pleasures because it's pleasing to you. The Most High says, that body belongs to me. That body's supposed to go where I tell it to go. It's supposed to do what I tell it to do. And in your spirit. That's why I said our spirit is designed to unite with his spirit. You should be hearing the voice of the Most High. You should be having dreams and visions at night, in the middle of the night. You should be able to hear that small, still voice telling you, go here, say this, do that, don't do that, and you should be in obedience to it. Let me read that verse again. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which are Elohim. They belong to him. See, we want to think that we are individuals and that we are in control. You are in control to a degree. And the Most High will let you do what you want to do. He will let you make a choice. You're either going to love him and obey him, or you're going to choose not to love him. Or you're going to choose a lie. What do I mean? You're going to say you love him, but then you don't obey him. And Messiah says, how do you say you love me and keep not my commandments? How do you say you love me and don't do what I tell you to do? How are you going to say you love me and the only thing that you use my body for is your own glory, your own pleasure? You love pleasure more than you love me. So you are bought with a price, and your body and your spirit belong to Elohim. And if that's not enough to make you stop sinning, nothing will make you stop sinning. Because you don't have the Most High. You don't reverence the Most High at the level that he wants you to reverence him. See, reverencing him, respecting him, and loving him should make you stop doing anything that you're not supposed to be doing. Should make you stop. Verse 21. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, we're going to talk about these things because Paul is trying to set within our minds straight how we should be thinking about relationships. Okay. We are taught in this country, we're taught in the world, hey, you grow up, you get married, you have children, you grow old, have grandchildren, and you die. Thing in our lives and in our minds should be the Most High. He should be first. And if we put him first, then these other things become secondary. So let's start in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. starting in verse 1. Now concerning these things, whereof we wrote, you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. We're taught the opposite. I was taught the opposite. Priority was set to chase skirts, to chase women, to chase after sex, to chase after pleasure. And that is the nature of, through the Most High, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And let every woman have her own husband, to avoid sex outside of marriage. If you can't control this flesh, if it's your desire to be with another human being of the opposite sex, then that has to be done in the relationship that the Most High sanctioned, which is marriage, husband and wife. Other than that, you have to control yourself. Because any other relationship outside of that is not sanctioned by the Most High. Nevertheless, let's see, verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. We're not supposed to be withholding ourselves from each other if you're married. That's the reason you got married, for security, for love, for affection, for sexual intercourse. The natural way of the body. So when you get married, the husband is not supposed to withhold himself from the wife, and the wife is not supposed to withhold herself from the husband. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also, the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. So neither one of them, the husband or the wife, controls their own body. It is the other partner. The woman was given to the man to help meet his needs, and vice versa. And we are, the man and the woman, equal in this regard. The Most High never wanted the woman and the man to be one to be subjugated to the other. And the only reason that he put the woman in submission to the man is because the woman's nature was to want to take over from the man. That's her nature. She's thinking 90,000 miles an hour. The man usually is simplistic. He's thinking about one thing at a time. The woman's thinking about 9 things at a time. And if he ain't moving at the same speed as her, her tendency is to take over. So when you look at Adam and Eve in the garden, Eve didn't say, wait, let me give this to my husband first to be wise. She wanted to be like Elohim. She really wanted to be one up on the man. And as I told you before, the way that scripture is written, you might think that he just turned around and handed this fruit to Adam. And he ate it. That's not the way it happened. And that's not the way it's recorded in the scriptures. That's the way it appears. But there's one word that the Most High said, that he listened to the voice of his wife. They had a conversation. Then he chose to do what she did. She convinced him, or he heard and said, you know what? We both in trouble. And so let me get in trouble with you. And said he was not deceived. He did not think he was going to be like Elohim. He did not want to be like Elohim. He wasn't deceived, but Eve was deceived. And discipline that the Most High imposed on Eve was to correct that which was in her. Oh, you want to be in charge? You want to be the head? let me make you submit. My commandment to you is to submit to your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's a commandment directly from the Most High. That wasn't to destroy her. That wasn't to make her say that she was lesser than. She came out of him. How could something come out of, how could she be taken out of Adam and be less than he is? He's his equal. But spiritually and mentally, she got an issue. She wanted to be more than. So the Most High says, submit yourself. So the wife has not the power over her own body, but the husband. And that likewise, also the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. The reason I put you two together. There was not found a helpmeet for Adam. Think about this. The Most High has created all the animals. They have started reproducing. Then he creates man. Man is going around naming the animals, and the animals getting busy, making other animals. But there was not found one for Adam like that. And the Most High says, you know what? I can't give you no monkey. The monkey not equal to you. Can't let you be around here looking at the dog and looking at everything else and having that need in you, and there's not anything equal to you to meet that need. So I'm going to take out of you and make a woman. A wound man to meet this need, and not just the sexual need, because it was on every level. And on every level, he gave both of them dominion. Let's go get that, and we'll come back here. Go to Genesis chapter 2, I believe. Chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Get verse 26. And then we're going to get verse 28. Understand that they both had dominion. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And Elohim blessed them. And Elohim said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Look at verse 27 first, so we know what the subject is. Verse 27 first. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim created he him, male and female. Created he them. And Elohim blessed them, male and female. And Elohim said unto them, male and female, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it. He told the man and the woman to do this. And have dominion. Told them. And have dominion over the fish of the sea. And over the fowl of the air. And over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And Elohim said, behold, I have given you every green herb and bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth. For every tree in which is the fruit of life yielding shall be meat. We don't need that verse. So we can see that the Most High gave them, male and female, dominion over everything in the earth. He didn't give him alone dominion over everything in the earth. It is not until the woman shows what is in her, what is the problem. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Start in verse 1. Understand what's going on here. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which Yah Elohim had made. And he said, subtle means that he's slick. He's quiet. He's going to tell you something that is part true, part lie. And if you are not paying close attention, you will fall for the okey-doke. You will miss where he tripped you up at. He's subtle about it. He ain't gonna just come out and just jump in your face. Let me talk to you and see how you think about things. Don't matter how I think about it, Satan speaking. Don't matter how I think about it. What I need to do is find out how you think about it. Then I can twist the words. I can leave off a word or subtly deceive you, make you believe something because I mix truth and a lie together. And it don't have to be a big lie. Just enough to convince you so that you do what he wants you to do, which is to be disobedient. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which I, Elohim, had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has Elohim said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the trees, of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, Adam told Eve this, because Adam was not told he was not supposed to touch that fruit. But the Most High told Adam, and the Most High never told Eve. Adam told her. Now, put yourself in Adam's shoes. You have somebody that the Most High said he has made for you. He has told you to teach them. And so Adam says, hey, the Most High says we can eat from all these trees. But the tree that is in the midst of the garden, we're not supposed to eat from it. And don't you touch it either. Now, I can see myself saying the same thing to her, wanting to protect her. Don't even touch it, or you're going to die. He's trying to put a fear in her. That's a problem with that, because it was not a truth. When she touched it and didn't die, do you think she said, you said if I touch this, I'll die. She didn't die. So now there's room for her to start doubting what Adam has told her. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto woman, you shall not surely die. You ain't going to die. You've been lied to. You've been hoodwinked. This, now he's got her doubting, but she already, when she touched this fruit and don't die, because you can't tell me, she just reached out there and grabbed it. If you think that something is going to kill you, or are you just going to go and grab it? Or are you just going to eat it if you think it's going to kill you? There's a process going on here, okay? And this is the subtlety of Satan, because we're told that this is one conversation. The way it's written is like it's one conversation. But I think Satan, the serpent, had been talking to Eve for a little while now. He had to learn what was in her. He didn't have all knowledge. He wasn't all knowledgeable like the Most High. He couldn't tell what was in her heart. He had to tell him. It's just not written. That's why I say when people try to give Satan too much credit, like he's a mind reader, he's not. He don't have that ability. So he tells her, you shall not surely die. But Elohim does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. and you shall be as Elohim, knowing good and evil. Elohim knows good and evil. So he mixes some truth, because this part is truth. And you shall not surely die. That's a lie. She's not going to die right away, but she's going to die obedient. And then the actual law of death is going to be enacted in the earth. That doesn't take full effect until the man does. Because the man could have died for her. He could have shed his blood for her and not died. Because they were what? Immortal. Think about this. At this time, if they don't sin, they will live forever. Can't die. Adam could have paid the price. His equal, Eve is Adam's equal. A rabbit, a sheep, a goat, another animal is not your equal. The Most High gave us dominion over them. They are not our equal. But when you have the head of something corrupt itself, and something has to pay, and that head can't pay because the Most High kills Adam, he could have started over. But his whole thing would have failed. I created man to multiply on the earth. The first man I put here, I got to kill him right away and kill the woman too. They weren't even in the garden 130 years. Think about that. You're eternal. You don't have to die. There's no such thing as death. If within 130 years of your creation, you have sinned a sin unto death, what Adam and Eve did. So the serpent wants this to happen, but he can't just come right out and say it. So he has to look and see what is in Eve. That's who we think is the weakest link. Let me deceive her. Because there's something she wants. And I'll use that to get her to disobey. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, Adam was told that all the trees in the garden, all of the trees, the tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and all the other trees were good for food. Maybe he didn't pass this on to Eve. Maybe this is something new for her. Because now it seems like this is a discovery for her. And when she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to do what? Make one wise. This is what she wanted, wisdom. And she wanted to be like Elohim. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. If we stop right here, we would believe that she just turned around and gave it to him, and him, like a big dummy, just took it and ate it. She didn't just take it and eat it. She's been told that if she eats this, she will die. Either she has no concept of what death is, or she had to contemplate this thing. She had to think about it. If I touch it, I'll die. Fruit. She should have been expecting to die, whatever that meant in her mind. She should have been expecting that. And then she ate it. I don't think she just took a bite out of it. She might have, but you know, I'm saying if it was me, I'm trying to empathize. Let me put myself in her shoes. I've been told that if I touch this thing and eat it, I'm going to die. So I touched it. I tapped it, I, you know, sort of poked at it. I didn't die. Then I grabbed it. I'm going to let me look at it. It looks like it's good for food because that seems like a discovery to her. you're not going to take a big bite if you think something's going to kill you. You're going to probably first nibble. Let me just nibble a little bit, see if I get sick. I didn't get hit. Sick, let me bite it. That thing tastes good. Ooh, now I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be smarter than my husband. He's off naming all the animals. Got the knowledge of good and evil, and he doesn't have it. Because when he ate, it didn't affect him. The overall view to the story, she turned around and she gave it to him, and he did eat. We don't have any words here to say that they had a conversation. And so you may look at this verse and say, well, he turned around and just gave it. He was there. He turned around and just gave it to him, and he ate it. Let's see what Elohim said. Now, let's go to verse 12. Drop down to verse 12. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And Yah said unto the woman, what is that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. The serpent seduced me, and I did eat. And Yah said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and of every living beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, hatred between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, and thou shalt bruise his head, his heel. Now, it's telling you that this is going to be a singular individual, a singular being, the seed of the woman. It's not talking about every man and every woman. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. This is where the Most High institutes her discipline. Before, they were to rule together. They were to have dominion together. This is not to destroy her. This is to correct what is wrong with her. Oh, you want to be wiser than the man? You want to have dominion over him? I'm going to put him over you. And I'm telling you, woman, you submit yourself to your husband, and he shall rule over you. He never told Adam to rule over her. He never told Adam to beat her into submission. He never told Adam to treat her like one of the dumb beasts that you got to train and make him do what you want him to do, what you want him to do. He told the woman, you submit yourself. To Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened, because thou hast listened unto the voice of thy wife. They had a conversation. And hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So the Most High says, now, this is your penalty. Because you thought you were going to be, what, wise and figure out a way to harvest better or to make a better life than what I'm providing for you, whatever's going through your mind or whatever the case may be, I have made the earth to bless you, to give forth its abundance to you without a whole lot of labor. You got to pick a couple of weeds out of the garden turn over, you know, the ground every now and again, and the earth is going to give its fullness to you. But because of the condition of your heart, Adam, now you're going to toil. You're going to work hard. The ground is cursed for your sake. Thorns, it wasn't bringing up thorns before this. And thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. Before they were eaten from the trees. Now the Most High says you used to look up and recognize where your food came from. Now I'm going to make you like the dumb beast of the field, and you're going to look down. Don't look at me. Look down when you eat. Before I always had you reaching up, but now you're going to look down. So that you don't feel exalted. So you don't think that you're anything. So that you don't be proud. So you look down, and the woman that I gave to you, she needs to look down. She needs to look up to you. She needs to be in submission to you. This is what's wrong with you. This is what's wrong with her. And it's to correct that behavior, that nature that was in them. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou art returned unto the ground. The Most High institutes death here. He activates death. Actually, Adam and Eve actually really activated it when they sinned. But the Most High is confirming it. Till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So we see that the Most High created the man and the woman equally. He gave them dominion. He created her to be his helpmeet. And she was in a fallen state, the Most High says. This is her condition. The Most High looked at the heart. He looked at the reason why. When we meter out discipline, if we don't think about what the root problem is, we might want to beat a child when that's not going to solve the problem. And that's not going to correct the behavior. So the Most High wasn't trying to destroy them. He says, I am taking eternal life from you. You are in a fallen state. And if I don't make atonement for you, death will come quick. But death's going to come anyway because you activated it when you disobeyed me. So I'm going to skin these animals. I'm going to shed their blood, and that's going to be the atonement for your sin. Probably was a lamb. That's just my guess, and I probably shouldn't do that. A lamb or a goat. Nevertheless, he made them for each other. He made her to meet his needs and him to meet her needs. And evidently, something wasn't being met for her. She was not satisfied. And it wasn't anything sexual because they hadn't come together yet. So this was some type of mental, emotional dissatisfaction that the devil used to reveal what was going on with her. So we got to understand that from the very beginning, they were made one for each other, to become one flesh. And Adam wasn't supposed to have power over Eve, and Eve was supposed to have power over Adam, but they were supposed to be equal and share each other equally. And when you understand that your body doesn't belong to you as a wife, then you can't say, I'm mad at my husband, I'm not doing anything with him. And neither can the husband say that to the wife. To be equal. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 7. So we are told in 1 Corinthians to avoid fornication. It's not a sanctioned union that the Most High wants to be a part of. And if you have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, then you're not supposed to be joining yourself to anybody in any kind of relationship solely for the sake of pleasure, solely for the sake that we can satisfy each other physically. The Most High expects that it's going to be a permanent relationship. That's why when we marry somebody for love, when we have a change of heart, when we don't love them anymore, then we want to come out of the relationship. I don't love you anymore. Most High never said that love is a condition for marriage. Never said that. But if you get married, it's a permanent situation, whether you love each other or not. Now, we should love our spouse. I'm just saying to you that it's not a requirement for marriage. That is a Western thing. That's a Western thing that the whole world has picked up on. How are you going to love somebody that you were betrothed to, that you were promised to, from the time you were a child? You never met them. But you know you already have, you're already betrothed, promised to be somebody's wife or husband. What's love got to do with that? Nothing. You have to learn to love each other. Now, in our society, when we are going together, we're dating, we're supposed to be learning about each other. Problem is that when we start learning about each other, if there's a physical attraction, then we will go ahead and just do the thing. And then when we find out, well, you know, this one's not for me, then we don't want to be in a permanent relationship with them. But we feel like we can just walk away. We can just leave this one. The Most High said it was never intended to be that way. Never intended to be that way. That's why Paul said, it is good that a man, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. That shouldn't be the first motivation. Because in the eyes of the Most High, if you touch her and she's a virgin, and you touch her, then you're supposed to endow her, empower her to become your wife. And she's supposed to not let you touch her away. And that you wanted to become your wife, be your wife. So when you get married, he's telling you that the man doesn't have power over his own body, neither does the wife have power over her own body. Verse 5. Defraud you not one another. Don't fool one another. Don't hold back from one another, except it be with consent for a time. Y'all come together and say, hey, you know what? There are times in the scripture where the Most High says husband and wife is not supposed to come together. If you're going to do anything holy, you shouldn't come together. If you're going to be in prayer and you're going to worship the Most High, you shouldn't come together. If you're going to go to the sanctuary, you shouldn't come together. You shouldn't be intimate in that way together. So you two talk it out and just think, we are going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to do this thing for this long, and we're not going to touch each other sexually until that time is up. So a woman can't go on a 40-day fast without the approval of her husband. It's not her body, it's his. So, baby, I want to do a 40-day fast. Think you can hold that for 40 days? Oh, heck no. Let's talk about this thing. Can you do 10 days? And vice versa. Well, baby, you know, I'm going to do a Nazarite vow to the Most High. And we can't do nothing for 40 days. It ain't his body to make that decision either. So he says, with consent. Not the wife asking the husband, do I have permission to do this? But he don't have to ask her because he just told you that the husband don't have power over his body, neither does the wife have power over her body, but they each have power over the other's body. So this consent is them both consenting. Not the man dictating, hey, do what I tell you to do. That's a whole different type of relationship. That you may give yourself to fasting and to prayer and come together again. That Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So come together again. So that you're not tempted to be looking at somebody else. Which I have agreed on this time period. Because when you are holy, when you are fasting, when you are in prayer, when you're in worship, you can't come before the Most High just any kind of way. People got to understand that. Because people think that they can just go before the Most High any kind of way, have no reverence, respect of him. He says, no, when you do that, you are unclean. And if you are unclean, you can't come before me. You need to wash and be unclean to the evening. If you and your husband have consented that you're going to be unclean, you're going to be holy for 3 days, and you don't come together for 3 days. You don't say, oh, you know, we're on this fast, and or we're dedicating ourselves to prayer, and I done got horny, so let's do something. Because now you're unclean, and the Most High says, whatever you're doing, none of it counted. I think I need to get those first. None of it counted. You just broke it. You are up under a vow. You're going to worship me or serve me or pray and fast for 3 days or whatever the time frame that you guys agreed to. It's like the Nazarite vow. You make a vow, and under the Nazarite vow, if it's for a year, if it's for 6 months, whatever the vow is, if you break it, you have to start over. And it's as though you never started. So you don't say, well, I'm in day 39 of 90. Man, I messed up on day 40. I'm going to be good the next 40 days. The Most High said, you go back to day one. Because everything you just did, you just wiped it out. It's not acceptable to me. You touched a dead person, or you had sex, You made yourself unclean, and if you're unclean for a little bit of this, you have broken the vow. So you got to start over. I think I will get those verses for next time. Can't exactly remember in my mind where they're at, where that vow is at. And that's, I have to look that up, but it's the same thing. So you come together and consent. It says, but I speak this by permission and not by commandment. So Paul is telling you, the Most High gave me permission to say this, but it's not a commandment of the Most High. Understand it. I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as myself. But every man has his proper gift of Elohim, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them that they abide even as I. Paul said, hey, I ain't touching no woman. Now, Paul was married at one time, and I guess his wife died, but he didn't want to remarry. So I say, therefore, to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. See, when you are involved in sexual intercourse, in fornication, in adultery, then you are headed for the lake, whether you know it or not. You're not headed for hell. You're headed for the lake, because death, hell, and the grave are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Hell is a temporary place. It's a temporary thing. The lake of fire is forever. So he tells you it's better for you to marry than to burn. And contrary to popular belief, so I ain't going to say that. Go to verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but Yah. So now this is a commandment from Yah. Yah didn't say, if you could abstain from marriage, go ahead and abstain. That's Paul. Paul said, hey, I wish you were even as I am. Because if you don't have that distraction, then you can live totally to the Most High. But if you can't be like me, it is better to marry than to burn. But now let me tell you what the Most High says. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but Yah. Let not the wife depart from her husband. This is a commandment from the Most High. This is not Paul's opinion. Paul is not speaking this by permission. The Most High's commandment was always, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. This is from the Most High. Paul is not giving you his opinion now. He's not giving you his preference. He told you up top, hey, if you're a widow or you single, don't be having sex and don't get married. And the Most High didn't give that commandment. Don't be not getting married. Because he said be fruitful and multiply. But in marriage. But if you want to serve the Most High with all your heart, with everything you have, then if you got to please somebody else, your attention got to go there. Whether you male or female. Your attention is divided. You will do things that make yourself unclean. To where you can't go around the Most High. This is what Paul is getting at. So it's better that you don't touch a woman, that you don't get married. Then you can give all your attention to the Most High. But if you can't abstain, then it's better that you marry than to burn. Be sneaking around, sleeping around, and you didn't get married, you didn't get into a proper relationship. So let not the if, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away, divorce his wife. These are the commandments of the Most High. Now, what you do with them, each and every one of us, that's up to us. But to the rest, I speak. I, Paul, speak. Not Yah. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. Speaking it by permission. The Most High saying, okay, you can say that. It's not a bad thing. But I'm not directly commanding it. And the woman which has a husband that believes not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. So if you got a wife and she don't believe, she's not in truth, she don't want to be in truth, she's got her own opinion, she got her own understanding, but she want to be with you, the man, she want to live with you as your wife, let him not put her away. Don't divorce her. Now, Paul has his reasons. We're going to read his reasoning for this, okay? It ain't about you, and it ain't about them. This is all about kingdom business. It's about having clean and unclean children. And a woman which has a husband that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. One side of the relationship, being a believer, living by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, doing what they're supposed to do, is enough to sanctify the children and to make the children clean. But if the unbelieving depart, if they depart, not if you send them away, not if you divorce them, if the unbelieving depart, let him or her depart. Now, don't have her there. Let him depart. But we know that it's him or her because he says, a brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But Elohim has called us to peace. So you got an unbelieving spouse, you living by the statutes, the laws, the commandments, the ordinances, the judgments of the Most High, you serving him, they don't believe, they don't accept Messiah. He says, let them depart. And then you're not up under bondage. That law does not pertain to you. You are at liberty to divorce and to remarry. Because they departed. But if they want to live with you, if they want to be with you, you married them. You come in the truth, they don't want to follow. They still want to be with you. Then you're not at liberty to divorce them for that. That's if they depart. The Most High don't want you to be in a relationship that is not at peace, that is not on the same yoke. If your unbelieving spouse is not stopping you from worshiping the Most High the way you know you ought to worship them, and you can't use that as a reason to put them away, to leave them or put them away. because they and your children are sanctified through you, the believer. They and your children are clean through you, the believer. The Most High don't want us to be at war like that. He don't want us to be in a relationship like that. So it says they want to be with you. So they're not going to stop you from worshiping and serving the Most High the way you want to. But if they do want to stop you from doing that, if you got a husband that says, hey, I don't believe all that malarkey, I don't believe all that whatever, and I don't want you going to church, and I don't want you worshiping, that's who you marry. Now, if you leave that person, if you leave them as the woman, you're not at liberty to remarry. Let's read this. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such case, but Elohim has called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or what knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as Elohim has distributed to every man, as Yah has called everyone, so let him walk. So ordain I in all the churches. Is any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. If any man is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. This is to enter into the kingdom. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of Elohim. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Now let me go. Drop down to verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of Yah. Yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of Yah to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present for a man so to be a virgin. It's not just talking about women. But see, in Revelation, it tells you that that Messiah's entourage, Messiah was a virgin. He was never with a woman. And his entourage, all those men, have never been with a woman. The 144,000. So we got to understand that he's talking to men here. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loose. If you have a wife, don't seek to be loose. Art thou loose from a wife? Seek not a wife. But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. I'm not going to get into all the stuff you're going to go through. Relationships are hard. If you just got to deal with you, that's all you got to deal with is you. When you got to start considering somebody else's thoughts, their feelings, their needs, their desires, their wants. Talking about. Because you're supposed to please your partner. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that had rejoiced as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. let's go get another verse. Time is 7:49. Maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. Hold on. Yeah. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's get verse 17. Actually, verse 16, 17, and 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16, 17, and 18. Know ye not that you are the temple of Elohim? You are. I am. We are the temple of Elohim. And at the Spirit of Elohim dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy. What you do in your body matters. It is not your body. You are not your own. When you made a commitment to the Most High, when you chose Messiah as your Savior, you became not your own. When the Most High chose you and filled you with His Spirit, you are not your own to do with yourself what you want to do. So understand this, that you can't just do any and everything that you want to do. If any man defile the temple of Elohim, we just read that we are the temple. Know you not that you are the temple. If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him, her shall Elohim destroy. For the temple of Elohim is holy, which temple you are. You got to reverence that. You got to fear that. You got to respect. You have to obey that. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, because wisdom will tell you that, hey, I can do this and the Most High will forgive me. The Most High is merciful. He's kind. He's all forgiving. But the Most High won't leave me. He'll never forsake me. We use these verses like they have no condition that go along with them. We use these verses like the Most High loves unconditionally. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, He's going to love you. He says, I love them that love me. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you don't love me, you won't keep my commandments. You'll do what you want to do. You'll do what's right in your own heart. You'll do what's right in your own mind. So I saw a girl. I know I ain't supposed to be lusting after her that way, but she seemed like she's willing. Let me go ahead and jump on this. I know old boy telling me, lying to me and telling me something that he think I want to hear, and I do want to hear it. I ain't heard these things in a long time. Ain't nobody gave me no attention. I'm tired of being alone. He seemed nice enough. Yeah, I'm going to defile this temple. And the Most High says, we need to be very afraid. We really need to be very afraid. Moses messed up one time. The Most High said, oh, you ain't going into the promised land. Saul messed up one time, didn't do what the Most High told him to do. The Most High left him. And somehow, we believe that he changed. That we can just mess up and mess up and mess up, and he just won't ever forsake us. He just won't ever leave us. That's not his story in the Bible. That's not his M.O. I told you to do this. You didn't do it. Now you're going to suffer the consequences. If any man defile the temple of Elohim, him shall Elohim destroy, which temple you are. Don't think that you are wise and that you can figure out beyond that how you can do what you want to do, contrary to what he's so wise that you can rationalize what you want to do and make it right in the eyes of the Most High. He says, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Become a fool and error on the side of the Most High. The Most High said, don't do this. This is my situation. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to try to figure out a way to rationalize how I can do this and be right in my own mind, because it's contrary to what the Most High has said. This is what Paul is saying. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with Elohim. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You think you're going to outthink me? You think you're going to outmaneuver me? You think you're going to be able to twist my words and justify my words to do what you want to do? When I've already told you what I want you to do? What I told you not to do? How much do you really love me? Well, I've already told you, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what the church in the world has done is, you know what? Those laws and those commandments were for those Hebrews. We ain't up under no law. We can just do what we want to do. And he is true and just to forgive us if we fail and we fall short. A corruption of his word. That's doing what you really want to do in your own mind. That's you being wise in your own craftiness. Because the word is just plain. If we're speaking truth, then he tells us, you can't do what you want to do. Your body is not your own. It belongs to me. And if you defile your body, I'm going to destroy you. That means you ain't going to make it. Not into his kingdom. Not going to make it. Verse 20. And again, Yah knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are, their thoughts are vain. They think they're wise. They think they're smart. They think they have understanding. But it's driven by vanity. Simple. I've told you what I want and what I don't want. And if you go outside of that, you are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or Caiaphas or the world or life or death or things present or things come, all are yours. Most High. And you are Christ, and Christ is Elohim. So he tells us, Paul has told us in different situations, whether you're a virgin, he's told you whether the commandment is from the Most High or whether it's him. I would say you err on the side of the Most High. Also, the Most High said, I never intended for a man to put away his wife, and I never intended for the wife to leave her husband. But if you do leave, if you divorce him, if you leave, you're not free to remarry. The law of, I'll get this on the next lesson, but I have some other verses I should have put in here. I didn't put them in here. I pray something was said to help us in our walk. Paul gave some things that were by the permit. The Most High said, yeah, you can tell them that. That's not my true intent. That's not what I really want, but I will allow it. I just want them to be at peace. So if you're trying to do right and the one that you are with don't want to do right and they don't want to keep the commandments of the Most High and they want to walk contrary and they leave, you're not in bondage. If they leave, if you marry them and they want to be with you, he says, don't put them away. Now, the thing there is there a leeway for you to put them away? The Most High says, never my intent. That's my commandment. That was never my intent. So if you married them, as long as they say they want to be with you, you're not at liberty to just put them away, to walk away from them. If you do, you're not at liberty to remarry. Because as far as the Most High is concerned, that's still your husband. From all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. To not love you like the Most High loves you. These are sticky subjects. And we don't want to walk in error in them. And we sure don't want to do anything that's going to put us at odds with the Most High. On tomorrow morning, I think I want to go into another topic. I'll see what the Most High says. He may still have me right here. But in my heart, I want to do a different topic in the morning. I don't know what it is yet. I'll see what the Most High says. If he says stay here and continue in this till we just understand it so that we walk in strength, we walk in spirit, we walk in truth, or if he'll allow me to go into something else. That we have done, what, 7 parts to this now? So until the morning, enjoy the rest of your evening. Sabbath peace to you all. Shalom, family. Have a blessed Sabbath.
Everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning. what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever.
Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Shalom, my sister. My sister.
Shalom.
Happy Sabbath to you all. Peace and blessings.
Thank you.